Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey Griefsters, I hope you're having an okay week and that the festive times aren't getting to you. This week is a very special episode. It is another live episode recorded at the Dulwich Picture Gallery in London. If you haven't been there, it's a very, very beautiful gallery. And they were having an exhibition of an artist called Ribera. Ribera is famous for his violent paintings and drawings which depict people being flayed. Yeah, it was pretty heavy stuff, and so they wanted to put on an equally heavy topic like death, but making it a bit more fun. So we came down and we did a live episode for them. I was joined by the incredibly brilliant team of Steen Raskopoulos, who is an amazing Australian comedian and improviser, award-winning, just great guy, guys. Stevie Martin, who is another brilliant, brilliant comedian, and also she hosts the excellent Nobody Panic podcast, and the incredible Sophie Duker from Channel 4's Riot Girls as well. And we just pitched up at the gallery to a sold-out audience, thank you for joining us, and did our usual, chatting about death and grief and trying to make it as honest and cheery as it can be. I hope you enjoy. Hello, welcome to the Griefcast Live at Dulwich Picture Gallery. Firstly, thank you so much for coming here. It's an amazing building, but it is not easy to find. And if anyone came from West Dulwich and did what myself and another guest did and walked through the dark garden entrance, did anyone else do that? It's fine, right? It's 5:30. It's fine. Someone could kill me here. Someone could kill me. No one would know. They'd think it was an art installation. I'm very excited to introduce the guests to you. They are just absolutely brilliant. So, so exciting. Our first guest has been nominated for a variety of huge comedy awards in the UK and Australia. He's an amazing improviser. We are so lucky to have him here. It is Steen Raskopoulos, everybody. Hey, Steen.
Can I sit down or do you want
to... You sit down.
Okay.
Our next guest is a star of Channel 4's Riot Girls, which is an amazing, very cool comedy show. She's written for a variety of BBC shows, including The Now Show and The News Quiz. She is the amazing stand-up and improviser, Sophie Duker, everybody. Hello. It's not that I'm saying everyone else dressed under, but Sophie looks amazing. So that's all I can... Sorry. Is that bad? Am I objectifying you?
No.
No, I just thought I heard it was a kinky exhibition.
So, yes. Yeah. Sophie did look round the Ribera and is still recovering. Did people look round the Ribera? Are you sad? Yeah. So it's not us that's going to make you sad tonight. It's the Ribera. And our final guest is an incredible writer and actor and performer and improviser, actually. She's the host of the Nobody Panic podcast. And she's also she's also a member of the... I was going to say triumvirate, that's not the word. She's a member of a sketch group with three people in, and it panicked me. I'm dyslexic. Sorry. Please put your hands together for Stevie Martin, everybody. Hi, gang. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
This is very exciting. Sophie, so we are here because there is an exhibition, the Ribera exhibition. Oh, God, what's it called? Something violent. And Sophie is the only one who went to see it. The rest of us were all kind of too afraid to go. Sophie, what was your favourite part?
Oh, I like the flaying. There was a bit where, is Apollo? Is flaying? Has anyone seen it? Has anyone been too scared? It's like a haunted house. Where Apollo's like flaying a satyr. With his hands? But I thought flaying was kind of like... I don't know what I'm doing.
Sophie's doing a whipping motion.
I'm doing a whip.
Podcast business.
But he's like flaying... He's just sort of peeling...
What, as if his like hands are made of like nails? What?
Yeah, and he's like his face nice. Though. His face is just like the face of a psychopath. He's just smiling serenely like... Oh. And there's like blood gushing from this satyr's legs. Oh. Satyr's like a little goat man. Like a man with goat legs, not
What's
just a
goatee man. What's the difference between satyr and a fawn? Anyone? Alan Ladd. No, not us. The answer to everything. Okay, well, I just wondered if it... So, no? Okay, it's fine. None of us know. That's fine. I'm so proud of you all for not being so middle class that you thought, oh, I'll say something, but there's too many of us, isn't there? Because if you were just in a small group, you'd have gone, oh, I think it's something to do with the legs. But you knew that if you said something, I was going to be like, tell me exactly. So anyway, he's a psychopath. Well, those who missed it, this is the joy.
It's a good time.
So obviously, we're not just here to talk about flaying. I know you all want us to. We are also going to talk about death. Stevie, how do you feel about death in general? Are you someone who worries about it all the time? Are you chill?
I think I feel quite badly about it.
Oh, quite, yeah. No one's that
surprisingly.
Keen.
Surprisingly. No, I feel like... I think I'm quite worried about it. That's
sure.
My main vibe. Because nobody very close to me... I mean, I've had grandparents die and I was close to them, but none of my immediate family have died. I've not experienced death, I think, full on in the face. I've not met him yet.
Yeah.
So I feel that, it kind of takes up quite a lot of my time.
You've had your starter
it.
Of grandparents.
I've had, and also aperitif of a dog.
Oh, so, classic. Yeah. That's lovely. You're lightly prepped. But not really.
No sort of main course.
I love it when I do meet people, it's like, well, my grandparents, I was quite sad, but I feel like I'll be okay when my parents go, and you're like,
no.
You won't. It's so different. But you are lightly prepped, which is good. So, but are you someone who like worries a lot about it? Or
It's something that will like pop up around sort of like 4 a.m. when I haven't been able to sleep. And I'll be like, oh, no, I don't know, like I should do this tomorrow. And I'm a bit stressed about that thing I said to my friend 7 years ago. And also death. And then I'll be really like, but then I never want to share it with anybody because when my boyfriend's like, oh, why were you up last night? I don't want to be like, I was thinking about death. Like you want to be like, oh, just got a lot on. Like that's the more sort of,
Please text me when that happens.
I'm the person.
I'm the person who'd be like, sure, tell me what was happening.
Tell me everything. But there's only so much you can say, though, isn't there? Which is, I'm frightened of it, and it must happen. but what's quite comforting to me is I know some people who have gone through it, and talking to them is really... Well, also listening to your podcast as well. I've listened to quite a few, because I think it's amazing to know that you can come through it and be okay.
That's true. Nice. When you've only had your starter, I think people panic, and they think... Oh, I'll never eat that main course. You're like, you will chow down and you'll have a pudding and it'll be fine. Steen, do you think about death a lot?
I think about dying more than death.
Oh, so how you're going to die?
Yeah, and it's most like disappointing.
So you're already disappointed by your own death that hasn't happened?
Well, I keep playing it out as if like, I would really love to like just drive a Ferrari into a wall or something like really, really cool like that. But I just keep thinking.
Why is that cool? How is that a cool
death?
What
a way to go. Like a tall boy dies in a Ferrari. Like it's, that's cool.
But don't you think everyone would think, what an idiot, why did he do that?
Oh no.
I wouldn't think that's a cool way to go.
But like, I just.
Sorry, I've really, yeah, I've really crushed my dreams straight away.
This has been 31 years in the making of how I'm going to die, and they just ruined
it. But maybe your friends would think that's cool. Like, yeah, maybe. That I'm just judging. That's not fair.
I just hate to, like, you know.
You don't want to go boring.
Yes, or okay. Get stuck in a lift with someone before it plummets. Like, I have to die with this guy or this girl. I think that'd suck.
What are you imagining this guy, the other guy in the lift? Why is it so bad?
Oh, just boring. I think it's just your enemy. Then you'd kind of, if it was your enemy, you'd probably be happy that they'd be dying at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's, but then I'd be like, oh my God, did you hear Steen was in a lift with his enemy? Yeah, I know, he has an enemy. And then the lift plummeted. I think that's going to get more tweets than the drove into a Ferrari.
What a way to go, baby.
Yeah, so you don't want to go boringly, that's basically.
I think so, but I think everyone's gonna die. I used to panic when I was a kid. I used to get really stressed about dying in terms of like, oh, what happens if I die now? Then I won't like get to grow up or have an 18th birthday party or learn to drive or go to high school. And then that kind of subsided the older I got.
As you did those things.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm cool, I've done them.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good now.
I graduated high school. I'm all good.
Yeah.
Sophie, do you worry about death?
I think a lot about my grandparents dying. Okay. I've got 3 out of 4.
Still. How old are you? You don't mind me asking.
28.
Whoa, that's good. Don't look isn't it. There? Yeah, yeah. That's Thank good. 3 out of 4.
What do I look?
Carried, you're asking?
3 out of 4 is not bad. I hate to say in this room, because I know I've got lots of people in the club, they're like, oh my God. Take one of her grandparents as mine. Is that what happens? It's just me.
What happened? Oh, did I take one of my grandparents?
Like they're looking at you jealously when you've got 3 out of 4. Oh. Is that just me? I've only got 1 out of 4. No, nodding. Yeah, come on, admit it. Everyone's like, she's got 3. That's amazing.
Oh, no. I don't. I've got 2 out of 4.
Oh, you got 2 out of 4? You only just remembered?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. More in the club than you realise.
I've got 2 out. It's both the women. Both women are still alive.
Okay, don't feel bad. It's fine. It's easy. It's
fine.
It's
sorry, I can't believe I said 3 when still don't mind.
Was
with
it
us.
Was it recent?
No, it wasn't recent. I just know there was one. The, one of my grandfathers dying was more significant for me because I thought that I killed him.
Okay, we need to go into that. What happened?
I was quite young. And I was quite curious, and I was sitting there. I'm still very like ashamed about this. I'm like, maybe I did kill him. I didn't kill him. I was sitting next to him at dinner, and I noticed that if you're old or if you've ever seen an old person, they've got quite interesting hands because they're quite textured. And I thought that what I would do was take my fork and like puncture his hand. But, like, not out of any map, not to hurt him. Oh, God. Just because...
This is a safe space. God. I can feel judgment.
I didn't do it to hurt him. I just thought I would... I just was like, what will happen if I just put my fork into his hand?
If the police are listening, we need to find that fork. We need to find that.
What happens is my parents got very cross with me. And then my dad took me out of the room and pretended to spank me. But he didn't actually spank me. He was like, I'll spank the wall. And you just yell as if you're being spanked.
This is very complicated, isn't it?
So I was like, and like, yeah. And anyway, I wasn't really in trouble and I didn't kill him. But then he died quite shortly afterwards. And I thought that I'd killed him. So it was quite, yeah, I remember that.
How young were you then? How old are you?
I must have been... Like 4?
Now we feel bad.
4 years old and a murderer.
But that's so sweet because that is the kind of thing that kids do. They just link. They go, well, that happened, now that happened.
Yeah.
And did they talk to you about his death particularly?
Oh, no. I mean, I went to his funeral.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did he die of? Was it just old age?
I think, I don't know exactly what he died of.
Murder.
He died of a murder, of a puncture wound in his left hand. I think he had various things. I think he kept going in and out of the hospital. It was quite a hazy part of my life. It was when I was living in Ghana and he was in Ghana and the adults didn't really speak to the children, especially when they were guilty of murder. So I don't know exactly what he died of.
The funeral was in Ghana?
It was in Ghana.
So what is a Ghanaian funeral?
It's a party.
It's a party? Oh, nice.
No, it's sad, but it's a kind of very, like, at least my grandfather's one, like, church there always takes quite a long time. Like, it's always, like, 3 hours and there's lots of talking and meeting people, but this was like a very, it was kind of a very social event. Everyone went and looked at him, and then there was probably
food. Was he in a coffin?
He was in a coffin.
Right.
And he was just kind of lying there. I mean, that's to be expected. He was just sitting there.
Did you tuck his hand in?
Just tuck it down.
Don't anyone check it.
I don't know. I just remember thinking like, oh, I'm going to look. And he just looked sort of, just sort of strange and like strained in the casket. And then I was probably like, went and had a yogurt. But I did remember it because I did think that I'd killed him, but I was just like, that's part of your life now. You've got to get on with school.
That's good. That's very practical.
Yeah.
You just thought, well, I'll move through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was the funeral like 3 hours long?
I mean, probably longer, because there's got to be like an, I don't think it's called an after party, but there's got to be, like, you've got to have, like, in well, the thing I like about Ghana is that my grandma, who is still alive, she goes to lots of functions, and a lot of them are funerals, and you'll get lots of food, there'll be music, there'll be dancing, like, if you can't get to sleep, it could be a wedding that's going on next door, or it could be a funeral.
Wow.
So that's quite nice that people are so community-minded around a death, as well as around happy things that happen. But,
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Stevie, do you have any plans for how you want to go?
You can't choose Ferrari, that's
no, I won't, yeah. Ferrari is gone, as is fork murder.
Okay. Since they've gone, it's difficult. Well, my parents had quite a nice but also like okay sort of vibe, which was that they've decided that they go to the Lake District a lot, mm-hmm. and there's this cave that they once visited, and they've said that rather than get old and sort of, you know, they wanted to go into the cave and shoot each other in the head. And it told to me when we went to my mum's 60th last weekend, and we were all in Cumbria, and like mum went, that's the cave, and I went, oh, and then me and Gina were like, what's the cave, and they were like, told me, and but in such like a really excited, enthusiastic time, I was like, you won't have to pay for, you know, a care home, and I was like, what if one of you misses? I'm gonna have to go, and it's really far away, you gotta go to Penrith and then get like a bus, and then I'm gonna have to like stand outside this cave in case one of them does. Oh, this is just too much. Where are you going to get guns?
It's bizarrely, I find that bizarrely romantic, because obviously I have a slightly
nice,
twisted
yeah.
sense. Christine just looked at me like, why are you laughing, Carrie? I was like, I do grief cast. Oh, like, of course I find that romantic. But I do think they're not thinking practically. Like you
not
said.
Not at all, no.
Because they're not thinking about what have you missed? Are they going to do it at the same time?
Even just purchasing a gun, right? Like, where do you purchase a gun?
Well, my mum said that she could.
She thought it through. Good.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all sort of sat around the table and discussed the logistics of it. We were like, well, America's quite gun, you know, you can get guns in there. So they were like, well, one time, my mum's diabetic and she's got this, like, machine on her that beeps all the time. So it does look quite suspect when you're going through airports.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, like, she doesn't look like you're natural, you know, a sort of terrorist, but, like, it does look, it starts beeping. And no one asks about it, which is really weird, because you're like, you should just be like, and what's that mechanical beeping thing on you?
And then strapped to your body.
Yeah, so mum's convinced that if she, well, she just shoves a gun up her ass, she'll be fine. No one's gonna. Or no, she actually said put it between her boobs, which are quite, you know, good.
So she's gonna go to America to buy the gun.
Yeah, go to America
and then
buy
put it
gun.
In her boobs.
In her boobs.
We've all got questions.
So dad probably shoves it up his ass, and then they go straight to the Lake District. I'm there, or Gina, my sister. We can, I don't know, pull straws for that. and then they shoot each other. I guess at the same time, but then, yeah, if they miss, then I don't know what. I'm going to have to shoot them. Yeah.
Yeah, if one of them misses, is it then, see, they need to think about this. They need to get a sign. I would want. Like, say your mum misses, it's your job to finish the job. If your dad misses, it's your sister's. You've got to think about this. You don't want to be, like, half dead in the cave. Steve can't believe it.
I've just suddenly really, like, drilled down into the details of me going in and having to do that. What I'm hoping is they'll not do that.
That's what
I'm That's my main hope, yeah.
Also, I think they're not thinking that when you do get to that age where you think, okay, now we're ready, you're going to be up for going to America to get a gun.
Exactly.
You're tired. You're old.
Exactly.
You might not want to get the train to Penrith.
Yeah. It's a pain. It's a pain. Transport-wise.
That
that's how your parents want, but how do you want to go?
Sorry, yeah, I just deflected because I'm living. Not that, I think.
Not that.
I can cut that out. I don't know. I think I've always been sort of very... I feel like I'm going to go before I'm old, okay. And I will like fall off something. Like I'll fall off I'll do something ridiculous. Like I'll fall off a bridge into the Thames, or just step backwards off a manhole down. Basically, what Steam was saying, he doesn't want to happen.
Yeah.
I will die in a way that's like, oh, that's not what I thought. Like I thought it'd be something a bit more, you know, fun. Like, but
it sounds fun. Sounds yeah. like a fun way.
Yeah, I think I don't really like hospitals and stuff, so maybe I'd prefer just to fall down a manhole, because then no one would have to worry about that. I'd just go straight.
Well, you are your parents' daughter. Yes. <That's> you're thinking, just somewhere in a cave, dark, yes. wet,
yes.
you've chosen a manhole, they've chosen a natural cave. But I can see all of the Martins are thinking, I'm just going to remove myself from society and just... fall down. Yeah. That makes sense. It makes sense. Steen, have you yeah. thought about your funeral at all? Like any thoughts? Is there any particular
I'm not very religious. Mm-hmm. So I think I just want like a lot of friends, I guess, to be there.
No family
whatsoever. No, separate.
Yeah.
But I'd still want to do something like quite fun to kind of like break the tension, I think.
Sure, yeah.
So although I'm not religious, I like to hand out like hymn sheets mm-hmm. to everyone, but on the hymn sheet is like different lyrics. So that when everyone starts singing the song, everyone's singing differently and everyone's like looking around and like, why is everyone singing differently? And then like, oh, he's still here.
That's quite a nice idea. Yeah. What would you play a completely different tune, or does one person match the tune?
Yeah, I think it's like all the like it's one
you should
like
get
one.
The best singer should be given the best, like the one that has the right words.
Yeah, true.
And then everyone's like, "This is wrong," but they just tune in to like, "Oh my god, it was that angel singing," and then they would maybe laugh and cry.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
That's an Edinburgh show.
It's a good Edinburgh ending. Yeah. You do what you want, a bit of both. Yeah. Are you thinking? Well, what tunes are you thinking?
Just straight bangers. just straight bangers. No, I think like something like Luther Vandross, like a bit of soul kind of.
What Luther Vandross? I can't think of any of his songs.
Never too much.
Never too much. Never too much.
Yeah, I think that like. I think they'll get it. No, is that like that's a good upbeat kind of thing? And
yeah.
then, so I think it's like pretty upbeat. Like, oh, this is like it'll be sad, but everyone will be happy to sing it. And then like they start singing, all the lyrics are different. So like, what's going on? And but everyone will be moving. I think it'll be powerful.
Yeah, I think that would be powerful.
Yeah.
That would be that's not bad. I'm just trying to think. I think it's got quite a large instrumental break.
Good dance break. Everyone loves a dance break. Everyone loves a dance break.
It could be dance break, but then I guess it could also be like thought break. You could be like this bit, like we can remember Steen and dance.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to think about these things.
Do you want to be my funeral planner?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at it actually, having done this show quite a bit.
Yeah, and depending on how I go, I think my coffin will be a Ferrari bed, but like soft top. So like once. Like it'd come over the top, so once I'm getting buried.
So it looks like a Ferrari. The whole coffin looks like
you know,
a Ferrari.
Like the Ferrari beds, you know, like the car beds.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, the car beds.
And it's a soft top, so everyone like it's an open casket. But when I'm ready to, then they close it up. And then my mum and dad will wind up the windows if they're still. It's very important that they do it.
Yeah, but they'd have to wind them up from the inside.
I really haven't thought this through.
But then if you don't die by the Ferrari death,
yeah.
does the Ferrari bed become a bit like, everyone's like, why is he in a Ferrari? Like if you do fall off.
But still stealing attention. Like he's still like, oh, he's still, even when he's dead, he's still got it.
Sophie, any thoughts on your funeral? Would you have a Ghanaian style or 3 hours?
3 hours? I think it would be long. I'd really want people to... I wouldn't want like a sort of in and out, like do it on your way to like the shops or something. I'd want people to like go like for an all-nighter, all-dayer, whatever. I think
an all-dayer funeral?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think there'd be like different sections of it because I don't see the point in planning my funeral unless I can assume that I can be there for it.
Sure.
Like I can watch it. So I think a lot of things would be for my benefit. So I think what's the only people, well, the, not the only people, but the people that I really care about how they would react at my funeral are all my exes.
If they turn up.
I think people like write their wills before they die.
It's recommended you write it before you die.
I want to write.
You can try and do the old Ouija board, but it takes ages. Slow.
I would do like invites to my exes. I might do it tonight after the show. invites to my funeral for all of my exes, and then I'd have a sort of kiss cam, or like at the Oscars when it's like just so you could see all their reactions when people said nice things about me.
So you want it so as soon as they get the invite?
Yeah. Not when they get. It's not like surprise. But like they would all come. I think they would all come.
So they would come to the funeral, and then they get given an envelope. And they're like, this is from Sophie.
Who's my favourite? No. I'd invite them to the funeral, and then they'd be there, but everyone could witness.
Like
when someone wins an award and all the other people are like, oh. Like, I just like see what they were feeling when other people said nice things
and
about
me. And is this being projected above
the coffin? Being projected above my coffin.
That, you're going to need to talk to your camera people, and you'll be like, these are the ones to focus on. And then all your friends would be like, oh my God, he loved her.
I know, he's really crying.
I think he's still into her. Yeah, that would be...
Even now. No.
What about music? Have you got any thoughts on music?
I have a very embarrassing iTunes playlist because I haven't really updated it since about 2005. And I really love a lot of the songs on there, but it's quite eclectic. So it'll be like the songs from the musical Bugsy Malone.
We could have written anything that we wanted.
It's so good. And then Grime. I just have it on shuffle and it would just play The Real Me.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That could be really... You know, like, I'm just thinking that if I did that, like, there's a lot of... That is the real you, isn't it? Like, there's all the stuff that people think you listen to and then the stuff you listen to. Plus, I have on shuffle, I don't even have this, because we're all comedians, we often record gigs or record shows.
Oh, man.
And often when I've been listening to my... Like, sometimes, like, an Edinburgh show for 2012 starts, and it's like, welcome to the stage, Carrie Adeline!
Oh, gosh!
Can you imagine... Like, if you're listening, everyone on stage is in physical pain. And also, you know what it's like? We record all gigs, because sometimes you listen back to them to check. So I have, like, the worst gigs and the best gigs, but imagine if the worst. Like, hearing your material to silence and all your friends going, I never really liked that character. Everyone's in pain. Sophie, are you okay?
Yeah.
I feel like that's worse than your death. Worse than planning your funeral is the idea of someone listening to a bad... Oh, it is so bad.
Oh, no. I think if I die, I'm going to have to get someone to delete all my gigs off my iTunes.
Yeah.
But maybe just as I go into the ground, as the church floor opens up and I go into the ground, just like the sound of applause.
Oh, just nice.
Yeah. I actually, when I was doing my... exams in university, I actually had the sound of applause, narcissist, to get me through. So that is actually on my iTunes. So that could just...
When were you listening to it? When you were studying?
Yeah, sort of like white noise. Why do I do this job?
You had constant applause. Was that not...
No, it's like 30 seconds of applause.
Oh, right. God, I was like... Sophie went to a good university, so she had to do lots of studying. I'm imagining you like 5 hours of clapping. And I was like, I don't know if she's okay.
No, just like mix it into a playlist.
Oh, that's nice.
Like,
yeah, that's a really nice idea. So like every now and again, someone just like, yeah. That's a lovely idea. We can all take that idea into our day. You don't have to be a narcissist performer. I'm taking it because I am also a narcissist performer. That's nice. I really like that. Yeah. So as the coffin goes in. So you're thinking church. Would you have a church?
Yeah, all... Yeah.
Churches are nice. Yeah, you don't always have to believe in it, and they do look lovely.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Because, fabric's probably booked, so a church. I think I would have a church. I think most of the people that would care about me dying would want it to be in a church.
That's fair enough. Yeah, okay. Stevie, are you having a church? Are you having not?
I didn't realise you could have not a church.
Oh, Stevie, bless.
Bless all, literally this week.
Yeah.
I've not, because I've only gone to funerals of people who are of a certain generation.
Yeah.
Even then, certainly one of my grandparents, it wasn't really religious, which is quite unusual, I suppose, for the time and his age, but it didn't feel like him at all. And so I didn't, I kind of that was the first one I went to, and I was closest, I think, probably out of everyone. I mean, hopefully no one's listening. Probably they're not listening. But I was closest to my granddad, who died first. I was quite young, but I remember really being like, it kind of put me off churches just because I was like, it doesn't feel like him. And I don't really know anyone who's particularly religious. Can be really fun, I'm imagining. But then I guess, like, when it happens, you have so little time, or I've seen my parents having to organise it. That is the time when you don't want to be doing any admin. Like, you don't want to be organising something. So I guess it's just the easiest, sometimes it's the easiest option. But I didn't know you could. So I guess in, like, a forest, be nice. weather dependent.
Yeah, I don't know. You might be able to have... There are rules. You can't just...
Right,
Someone's nodding at me, like, you can't just bury your dead anywhere. I love the high street and outside... outside and other stories seemed like a fitting tribute. I spent so much time there. But you can have memorial services, definitely, in the forest. I don't know, actually.
I think I'd like to be already cremated
before you definitely
the funeral.
Do that.
Yeah. Because I think then no one has to be like, oh God, the coffin. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I could have like a little fun sort of urn and then maybe decorate it with like I don't know, a pair of glasses, because I sometimes wear glasses, or like...
A little blonde wig.
A little wig, yeah. And then it can be like, and then I can sort of have some fun at the funeral and people can like have, oh my God, I can have a selfie booth. With me, like, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, none of this will actually happen, I'm sure, but that is nice to have a plan.
That's a nice idea, though, that you're in the urn, it's got a little blonde wig and glasses and a smiley face, and then you can pass that round.
No, sad face, because I'm sad I'm dead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't
I thought you were
when.
Trying to sort of make everyone feel cheery.
No. Of course, yeah.
But isn't it a selfie booth? Like, you could change the smiles, change
the...
Yes,
yes.
Glasses.
Moustache. Like, yeah. Change the... Put little hats on.
That'd be fun, yeah.
I think that would be strangely... It depends how old you are when you die. That's the thing I've noticed with funerals. Yes. Like, if you are, like, 90, this is hilarious. This is so much fun. Yeah,
if it's now, it's quite tragic.
If you fall off this stage now, we have to immediately do that.
Yes, here as
quick,
well. I want it here.
Get the urn and the selfie boom. Yeah, but I think that's a nice idea.
Thank you.
Steve, do you have any things that you like objects you want to leave to people? Have you thought about like that sort of thing?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I've been arrogantly confident that I'll survive for the next little while.
Maybe you might do. Have you ever been given anything?
I got given like a signed Donald Bradman bat by my parents, and that was like, they woke up.
Sorry, who? Donald? I know, someone laughed like they know. What did you say?
Sir Donald Bradman, he's arguably the greatest cricketer of all time, averaged
99.94. And I was upset you didn't use his official title.
My apologies.
Of Sir.
His portrait is just no, sir.
Who is that?
The first bat he ever had.
That's St. Jude. Yeah. It's a different...
If you can't see the back, it's just like a naked shepherd.
sorry, is his name Batman? No, Bradman.
Bradman. Yeah.
For a brilliant moment, I thought his name was Batman, and he was a cricketer. It wasn't even the Batman thing. So Donald Bradman.
Bat. Yeah, wow. And he passed away like 15, 20 years ago, I think, or maybe a bit less than that. But I remember waking up and my parents were like, hey, we got you something. And I was like, what's going on? And they showed it to me. I used to play cricket when I was younger. I actually played cricket at Dulwich College when I was 15. I came here and played cricket. So it was like really weird to come back into this specific place.
Did you lose? Was it traumatic?
It's not the point. The result the results of the game. But was it? They
somebody
drew.
Was at that match. That's what it felt like.
I remember you.
You lost, Steve. Yeah. Oh, so then would you like to leave that to somebody? Or?
I think so. Like, that was my most, like, as a child, I couldn't believe my parents bought me a signed Donald Bradman bat.
Yeah.
And then later on, like 5 years later or 6 years later, like my 18th or 19th birthday, I was like, man, I still have this thing. It's so great. You guys got this present. Like, you'll never be able to top it. And I remember mum going, dad just got drunk at an auction and bought it. And I was like, oh. It wasn't even like a sentimental, like, Steen loves cricket. Like, this would mean the world, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, your dad got pissed and bought it.
Sometimes when you're drunk, you do things that are meaningful, meaning too.
Mm.
But yeah, maybe you should think about who to leave that to. Is there
I might donate it to the gallery.
Yeah, I think they would take it. Sophie, anything you want to pass on? Or even maybe like words of wisdom? Do you want people to be like, I remember, what do you want people to remember you for?
Well, I I don't think I have many objects that anyone would want. Maybe these dungarees.
Yeah, we want the dungarees.
But I think I would bequeath my jokes.
Ooh.
Because I don't want my jokes to die with me. Why am I coming across as such a narcissist? But, I think because I could have some fun, I'd leave my jokes to a comedian that would find it really difficult to perform them. like my friend Ivo Graham, who is a white man. So he just had to do lots of...
that's brilliant.
Yeah, jokes about being like a bisexual black woman and people being like, what is going on?
And every gig is like, that is very offensive, Ivo. And Ivo is a very nice man. So that would be...
He'd be like, she wanted me to perform them, so I will.
Yeah, he might feel pressure. If you wrote that in your will, he might feel that pressure. Yeah.
If this is legally... If this is,
yeah, this is legal.
Yeah, okay, sure. Cool.
This is definitely...
Leave all my jokes to Ivo Graham.
I remember watching a documentary about Joan Rivers. I can't remember what... But she had like a joke filing system. Did you see this? So she had them written down like old school... Oh, like those cards you used to revise on if you're over 30. Some people are nodding. Those like...
Palm cards?
What?
Palm cards?
Palm cards? What? That was so offensive. It was so unnecessary. It was me trying to process what you said, genuinely. Sorry. That was my brain being like, is that what he said? Yeah. What did we call them? Just...
Cue cards.
Yeah, but they were like lined and from W.H. Smith and they had like a pink line at
palm
the top.
Palm cards?
What are you... I think... Note cards, cue cards.
Do you mean like when you used to write like
index cards? I think is the official W.H. Smith name. But they probably were called palm cards, but we didn't call them that here. So you can be upset about that. But I will
write a complaint. Don't you worry.
I am not getting the cricket bat. Put it that way. Anyway, such a tangent. The palm cards. I just called them palm cards. The index cards. And you remember you had an index box, like those plastic box with the flip lid, and that was like when you were revising. You're like,
a palm box.
They've got some great ideas. And Joan Rivers had literally all the jokes, like the joke, one joke written per card, and she had like a room, like a file, like, but not filing cabinet. It's like index size. So like you pull out like card size, and she could go through. She's like, this one's from 1965. Oh, why does my husband do that? He's fat. And this one, and she said, like, I can't remember what happened with it, but they were like, this is obviously like a massive resource. And like, when she died, they were having, I think her daughter got them, but they were going to like give them to someone. But she had literally like one, like hundreds of one-liners. So I couldn't do that. I've just got some characters that probably only I can improvise. Nobody wants that. Yeah, Stevie, you look like you're about
no,
to.
No, I was going to say, you'd imagine that it'll just come out as a book or something, surely.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
It'll be a great book, like a really funny book.
Oh, it would be amazing.
And Beyonce has like an air-controlled, temperature-controlled vault of every single cutting that she's ever been involved in or been pictured in since she started.
What?
Yeah.
What, like, just literally, like, Beyonce's visiting Houston today.
Yeah, a picture of her or whatever. It's all cut out. It's all in filing cabinets, and she has a staff. This is not me like making it up. It was in a GQ article some ages ago.
That
disappeared because she's yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. What do you think will happen? Oh, and don't get upset when I say this, but when Beyonce goes, but we need to prepare. We need to prepare. I just brought the mood down better than anything. I didn't think I was gonna say that. And then I've just said it, and it's really bummed everyone out.
She won't die. That's why it's bummed everyone
out. Yeah, that's
true.
She won't die.
She'll live forever.
Sure. She's not in the club. That's all I ever think. It's like when Aretha went, it was, wasn't it? But at least she was old. That's how I felt. No? But I didn't, it wasn't like the Amy Winehouse situation, when you're like, that's horrible, What's the one that's got you? You know, we've had lots of famous people recently. Is there one that's got you?
Alan Rickman really made me sad.
Oh, Rickman.
That really made me sad.
Oh, it was so sad.
I don't know him, so I don't know, you know, it's very interesting when a celebrity dies, because I don't know why I was so, upset. I've never met him. Like, it's not like I'm like, Alan. But and I'm probably thinking about Snape.
Yeah.
And being like, he died for a good cause. But again, that's not Alan.
Sophie, was the one that got you?
Amy Winehouse.
Oh, Winehouse, yeah.
Just because she's so great. I don't know. It's just like about, being from like North London. Mm. And there's like a great picture of her at High Barnet. And she's got a High Barnet. And she's like, I'm here to get better.
Can I just say, someone who grew up in High Barnet? Yeah. When that joke started happening, we were over the moon. We were like, we were like, oh my God. Because people knew suddenly.
Yeah, people have heard of us.
Yeah, they're like, oh, hi, Barney. Yeah, it was amazing.
It was wonderful. Winehouse. And where the Artful Dodger, you know this.
Sure, babe. We're from the same.
Where Oliver Twist met the Artful Dodger.
In Barnet.
It's not a real thing that happened, but.
In the book, it's at, like outside the Red Lion Pub, which kind of, I mean, now it's not a nice pub. But I think it's like a harvester, but like a not. Even worse than a harvester.
Yeah, I'm not sure in a Dickensian novel it was a nice pub.
No, it's not Dickens didn't write, they head to a harvester. He did not write that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
So were your two friends, how old were you when they died?
Jordan was like 22, I was 22, and Elliot, this was two years ago.
Oh, wow.
28, yeah.
And how did they die?
Jordan, we did a show together, and then I got a phone call in the morning. He got hit by a cab whilst being, I think it was like 200 metres from his house.
Oh,
and he was on the phone to his girlfriend at the time as well, which was just God. Like, just that's sucked. Awful. But that was my first, like, you know, I had a great grandmother pass away before that and a great grandfather when I was really young. But that was the first in terms of like from a friendship group and from that kind of thing. And because like we did theatre sports at Sydney Uni together, and I was like the teacher and host kind of thing, and he was one of the players at the time, and it was that thing of everyone was just didn't know what to do, and it's that thing of like I didn't know what to do, but in my head I thought I was seen as that host figure, like that kind of teacher, that kind of thing. So I think immediately I just went into this like we're going to be okay kind of stuff, but the grief happened way later for me. Like years and years down the track.
Because you had to be, it's fine, guys, we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
How did it manifest itself later?
I think I just couldn't understand why someone's so, talented. Yeah. It was just so stupid. And he was the nicest kid. It was like, it didn't need to happen. Yeah. It didn't need to happen. And then for me, like it was a good tool to use in terms of, I was super lazy as a performer. Like, I'll be fine. And it was that thing of like, anyone can go. If that someone that talented who I thought would just like blow up could go, then I needed to get my shit together, at least to give it a proper go.
Yeah, I mean, that's we talk about this so much in the show that, and I try and use the term positive, but I don't know if it's the right term, but there is a positive side to grief and death, because it can, like you said, kick you up the arse or make you appreciate things and all of that. And it's not that you're like, oh, I'm glad they died for that reason. But we talk about that so much on the show. Like, I wouldn't be the person I am now if my dad hadn't died. So, and I'm happy now, sort of, most of the time. So then I have to acknowledge, well, that experience changed and shaped me and I'm grateful for it. Mm. But obviously that doesn't... It's very hard, I think, when people maybe haven't lost people, because it sounds weird. It can sound like, as we say on the show, if you're not in the club, it can sound like,
oh, you wanted them to. You're like, no, it's not that. It's just, it's so shit that if I can find anything from it, then that's helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
just to find one thing from it. Yeah, it's really tough. The one celebrity that really got me was David Bowie. Like, oh, yeah, bum the room out. That's everybody's. Like, I found that so unbelievably hard because I had done a very, not consciously, David Bowie in my head became my dad. In my head, I was like, it's okay, my dad said, because actually I haven't told anyone, but David Bowie is my dad. I don't know if I've talked about this before. And I don't know why I did it. Just like, he was like similar age to my dad, a bit younger. But just kind of like, my dad really liked David Bowie. And so in my head, I was like, once, and I remember thinking, as long as David's here, we're all right. So you can imagine the horror. And yeah, it was really, yeah, I found that one, and Adam Buxton talks about it a lot. If you don't listen to his show, you're mad. Listen to Adam Buxton's podcast, it's amazing. But he talked about a lot that after his dad died, and then David Bowie died, I think, about a year after his dad, it's like, you know, you attach to other people. And like you were saying about Amy Winehouse, Stevie, like, or Alan Rickman, that like, you don't know them, but they mean so much. I think it's really interesting in like, Stevie, how do you feel about social media when everyone's like, don't, how dare you say anything about them, you didn't know them? Because I found it, I sort of felt like that until David Bowie, and then I was like, I gotta tweet his videos. Like, I felt compelled.
Yeah, I feel like the same. I think it's so unhelpful when you see someone be like, this is, like, take David Bowie, for example, being like, this, oh God, I'm so sad that this has happened, and put, you know, like, here's my favourite song, that, or once I met him and he was really great, and then you see people being like, oh, shut up. You're like, let them be sad. Like, why would you ever not let someone else be sad about something? I can understand how it can be sometimes annoying, or a bit, like, eye-rolly when, especially, like, a friend of mine, I didn't know the girl at all, but a friend of mine died abroad, and it was quite like a well-publicized, she was murdered, and it was really horrible, and she was traveling, and her boyfriend was killed as well, and so my friend was like trying to get people to donate and stuff like that, and she said it, she found it hard, because a lot of people just suddenly came out of the woodwork being like, oh my God, yeah, like, she was a real close friend to me, and they were like, you literally didn't know her. You're using that as you're sort of jumping on the and I understand that is very difficult, especially if you are close to the person, and you're like, shut up, you don't know what this feels like. But with a very well-known person, it feels like, oh, just be sad, because a film can touch you, a song can touch you, and you can feel a connection with David Bowie that you may not feel a connection with people you actually know. I feel like that about Alan Rickman. I mean, Snape really gets me.
Yeah.
Like, just let people feel
stuff. I think it's weird, and it's often performers that everyone gets, like, I notice, uppity about. But that, for me, denies what a performer is. The performer's job is to try and be like, I'm only talking to you. Like, that's how we feel with amazing performers. You're like, oh, like, Sophie's telling that joke to me. I'm special. Like, that's our job, is to try and communicate directly to people. So obviously, if you're doing, and like, the people we're talking about were incredibly talented and good at their job. So why wouldn't you feel like, oh, I do feel like I knew. I mean, when I hear David Bowie songs, I feel like he's singing to me. And I know not everyone has that. But I genuinely, perhaps that's how you feel about Snape. You felt like you were at Hogwarts with. Not exactly.
No, those books have like I read them when I was, you know, like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, as they all came out, and I kind of grew up with those books. And so when some, obviously, that's, the films are different and stuff, but when J.K. Rowling, if J.K. Rowling goes...
Oh, we haven't even thought of that one!
That'll be a real sad time, and that'll be a real... But like, with people like those people, like Alan Rickman and Amy Winehouse, you can always go back and like listen to them. You can always go back and listen to the stuff that they left behind, and which is always like, that's really helpful and nice.
Yeah. How do you feel about Sophie?
I was going to say about Amy Winehouse dying, it was quite weird because she died, I don't know if anyone remembers, but it was at the same time as like a tragedy happened in Norway. That was when, they were about the same time. And so people were going online to talk about, to talk about that and also to talk about Amy. And it was kind of, there were a lot of statuses being like, essentially she's this just like, trivial singer that takes drugs and stuff, and this is a real thing that has happened. And when anyone dies, there are real things that have happened that usually are more like weighty, important, serious than someone that you know dying. And I think people feel a lot of embarrassment about grieving for people that they don't know. Like when I went to, after David Bowie died, I was at Dawson's Superstore, and it was like, I wasn't like the biggest David Bowie fan, but it was so powerful. It was so like, so much that it meant for people. But I think because there's so much that's horrible in the world, and it's also like when people's deaths become symbolic, but they weren't famous. How you grieve for them as well. And like, I think this like stuff with like people are seen as more valuable because they're performers or they're famous, and there's stuff like Grenfell. I feel like people like are still and with that particularly, I feel like I'm grieving so much for people I didn't know but was in very close proximity to, like Khadija Sia. So it's kind of weird how the deaths are presented to you as being more important, especially when they
I think that's the problem.
Simultaneously, like if you lost someone around the time of Grenfell, I can't imagine how that must feel.
It must be awful.
not in that tragedy.
And I think sometimes you're right. It's like, I understand the point of being like, well, you know, if a celebrity dies, it should be as important as a non-celebrity person. But I don't think that's what anyone's ever saying. And I do think it comes from embarrassment of grief. I do think there's a certain... And there was a lot of articles at the time, especially with Amy Winehouse and David Bowie, of like, well, I think about time we all got back our stiff upper lip, actually. I think this is a bit too much. And you're just like, I think it's an embarrassment of emotion when people are like, oh, I'm just... upset, actually. And I think there, I don't know, with Grenfell, obviously, I don't think people, there wasn't that criticism, which thank God there wasn't that criticism, because it was so, obviously, so, so awful. But like you said, every life is a life, and people should be allowed to express that. I think that's hugely important. Well, it's Griefcast, guys, we went there. That's what happens. We're going to have a question, Q&A, that's the word, sorry, I panicked. We're going to have a Q&A. So if you have a question you'd like to ask, you can... Now, you might not have been to the Q&A before, but let me explain it. You raise your hand, you say your question, and one of us answers it. So does anyone have a question? It can be on anything we talked about or your own personal question that you came with today. Anyone? Go on. Oh, yes. So the question is, if you have someone close to you who dies, what do you want to be said to you? So, like, I guess, what are you hoping? This is a really interesting question. I did an event this week with a new, it's not a charity yet, but it will be, called Let's Talk About Loss, which is an organisation for young people who've been bereaved or are grieving. They call young people 16 to 30, but I was allowed in, so you'll be fine, guys. someone was talking about that, and this was the difficult thing with grieving. The girl next to me, who I think is in her 20s and has recently her mum died, was like, oh, never say I'm so sorry. Why do fucking people say I'm so sorry? And I was like, oh, I quite like I'm so sorry. So I think the main thing is there isn't really a right answer. We talked about it a lot on the panel. We were all people who'd had significant griefs, I suppose. And, you know, she was like, please don't say sorry. I fucking hate it. It's not your fault. Whereas I was like... sometimes I'm sorry is quite a nice placeholder of like, what else are you going to say? And I think the biggest thing I think is to be okay if you get it wrong. I think that's actually more helpful. How did you feel after you lost your friends? Was there anything that...
I think it's just more actions. I find actions is more important. But you know, obviously everyone's completely different. So even stuff like cooking for someone or going to their house and you don't have to say anything. You can literally ring the doorbell, drop off some food or drop off some new clothes or fresh clothes, especially with people who are grieving in a hospital or like just that kind of stuff. Just doing the wash, like stuff that you are very active about. You don't know what to say in terms of how people are going to react differently. But I think for me personally, I've always felt both on the receiving and giving it, like just being there in actions. And if they want, obviously more to...
Oh, hi, Dad. just kidding. It was David Bowie. Noise in the background. I really agree with that. I think, and I talk about this a lot on the show, that like when someone's had a baby, everyone's quite good at being like, get around there. And it's, I think it's very similar, like any massive change in anyone's life, it's like food and just coming around and tidying up without asking can be just like
when you just like you just turn around and the bins have been emptied. Oh, that's a joy. Like who did the bins? And you're like, oh, you know, my friend came around and just emptied the bins. You're like, oh, that's done. That's nice. I think, yeah, actions are a massive, massive thing. It's really hard as well because this is the thing, you know, I was at this event about grief and bereavement and four people said completely different things. So I think it's like reading the person that you know, trying, you know them, obviously that's why you'll want to say something to them. I think if you don't know them, I'm so sorry is a really great, I'm a fan of I'm so sorry. If you don't know them, I kind of felt like saying to this, you know, this younger person, I was like, well, what the fuck else can you say? As someone who's then been on the other side, like, I had it the other day, someone surprised me. It was like, I wasn't doing a grief cast, and they said somebody very significant had died very recently, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, ah, shit, is that, even me, grief girl, was like, oh, what have you gone for, guys? Have you gone for anything in the past? Have you just gone for, I'm so sorry?
What to say to someone?
Yeah.
I feel like, similar to you, just in terms of, because sometimes don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's
and
so hard.
I think I once really made a mistake of not leaning into it because I was worried that I would do the wrong thing.
Yes.
And then that feels worse both for you and the person because they're like, cool, so you're like not a nice friend.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I obviously care, but... And there's a lot of people, people talk to you, like my friend would talk to me, but like my friend, and I don't know what to say. And you're like, and I don't know what to tell her what to say.
Yeah.
Like, whereas actually anything is nice.
Yes.
Because you're making it's the gesture. It's not the actual words because there isn't a magic. I think people genuinely feel like, oh, there's like a magical phrase that will make them feel better.
Yeah.
Nothing will make you feel better that you say.
Well, we say this all the time on the show. It's like, you can't make it worse.
True.
Like the worst thing's happened. Like the person they love has died. So you can't, you're not going to make it worse. Like they're not going to go, oh, and now you said that. It's like, they'll be like, I felt shit and now I still feel shit. And I think it's fine. Like it's not going to change their baseline of shitness is shit.
Yeah.
So if you, and I think saying anything, I was speaking to an end of life doula. It's a thing. And she was saying, I think it was her. She said something really interesting that when you've lost someone, it feels unbearable. Like it feels an unbearable pain. And when your friend doesn't say anything, what you, without meaning to, and they're not saying this, what they're saying is, yes, your pain is unbearable and so unbearable, I can't bear it. So then you're like, oh, I'm really alone. No one will carry this with me. And she was like, the moment you say anything or you turn up or you just sit next to someone, what you're saying is, it is bearable because I'm in the room with you. So somewhere in your brain, you're like, oh, maybe it's going to be okay. Even if it's like 1%. But I thought that was quite a nice way of... And she said, you're literally carrying the pain for them. And I was like, I made not a great metaphor, which is what I do. It's like a really heavy rucksack. And you know when someone carries it, even if they do it for like two roads, you're like, oh, that's quite nice. My shoulders feel a bit better. And now you have to get your bus. That's fine. I'm looking at you because you have carried my bag. So you're very gentlemanly. And it did make a difference. Hopefully that vaguely answers. Do we have another question? Come on, don't be shy, guys. I mean, this is the only time you're going to get to ask this question. Oh, yes, see? Yes, gentleman here. If you could give your pre-grieving self one piece of advice or a tip, what would it be? Oh, God. You'll do a podcast about it. It will be useful creatively. No, I think... Don't start another one. I think I would genuinely say, which I know it sounds shit, which all these things do because like you said, there aren't the words, but I think I would say it does get better. Because I think when you're really in it, like I think I spent, I don't want to depress anyone, I'm 20 years in so I can make these comments. I think the first 5 years, you know, like the first year especially, like it gets slightly better and then you have that dip again of like that another wave of grief and you think, God, this is it for the rest of my life. Like I'm always going to feel like this. And it took me so long to realize that, you know, like that everyone says it's like the first year, like every day you feel shit. And then the second year, like it's like every 2 days you might feel, you know what I mean? It goes up and down. And when I was on like another, like, oh, I'm feeling terrible for 6 months and here's another shit 6 months. I genuinely, once I got past that, and obviously everyone's different, but I did have years where I'd only had like one blip. And it was a, you know, I mean, I would also say I wasn't really dealing with it that well. But that complete pit of despair, I do think, I personally, my experience is that you do get out of it. it's not to say the grief goes away. It's not to say you never go back to visit the pit. You definitely do visit the pit, but I feel like they're visits now, whereas I think I definitely like used to live in the pit. And then I moved like very near the pit. Wow. And then I was like, you know what, that's why we're living near a pit. Let's move. And then I was like, we should visit the pit though. My metaphors. Honestly. So yeah, that's the one thing I'd say. What would you say? Any other thoughts about them? Or
feel? For me, crying's awesome. Mm. Generally, I think growing up, and like especially with those two friends, especially Jordan, like as my first kind of proper grieving, I spent so much energy trying to not cry,
yeah.
If that makes sense. But once you just let it out, you feel so much better.
Oh, so much better. Mm. And there's so much stuff about crying, like when you read the research of like the hormones it releases, and like it literally makes you feel better. Like chemically, it makes you feel better. When I read that, I was like, oh, bodies are amazing. Mm. Like imagine if there was a switch to clean your car and you were like, no, don't clean it. It's not the, I won't feel like a man if I clean this car. Like, you'd be like, switch it on. Like if it literally makes you feel better. I mean, drinking makes us feel better. We do it all the time. And there's no, well, there is some shame, depends on how much you're drinking. Yeah, any other thoughts? Don't have to be.
I was going to say, I think I'm quite, I feel like I'm still in my pre-grieving stage. I've not had anyone who's very close to me go, but what I'm quite good at doing is repressing stuff. and I've realised this, actually, talking about how one of my grandparents, the one that I thought I murdered, and I was thinking while I was sitting here, I was like, why did I not remember that my other grandfather was dead? And I was like, oh, because it was very traumatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was the last person to see him alive. And so I think, and with other people in my family who I've lost in like particularly distressing circumstances, I tend to forget.
Yeah, like, that's really common. Really
I tend
common.
To like not, like I just don't think about, because I was like, this is going to be fine for me. I haven't like had any sadness in my life. And then like sitting here, I'm just like, oh no, like all the stuff that's coming back up. So I would say to my pre-grieving self, possibly like that the chronology of it's going to be really weird. yeah. And at some point I'm probably going to have to deal with it. But I think I very rarely feel straight away.
Yeah, yeah. And that's okay. Yeah. Like there was an amazing episode with the Mac twins. So their dad, like, you know, dropped dead of a heart attack. And one of the twins, I always get mixed up, Lisa, was like, Lisa can't remember the next year. And Alana was like, we did the funeral, we did this, we did this. And Lisa's like, I don't remember it. And that's you know, great class. That's literally a psychological experiment. It's so common to blank stuff out when it's traumatic, because that's how we survive. You know, your brain's like, this seems quite stressful. Probably put this in another box so we can carry on like eating and sleeping and living. So it's so common, I think. Yeah, again, I think it comes back to the thing of like, there's no right way to do it. And we're so hard on ourselves of like, oh, I shouldn't cry, or I should be crying immediately. Or like, it took me 18 years to go, oh, maybe I should talk to someone about this. No one's beaten that record yet. So no, actually they have, who am I kidding? There was another question. Yes, yeah, lady there. A good question. So have we ever received any quote or item that was from somebody who was very dear to us? Yeah.
Yes, Dean, yeah, go. Yeah. So Elliot was my other friend. He passed away 2 years ago, and he had a rare form of cancer. He was 21 in his jaw, and I taught him since he was 15. Then he finished high school, and then I got him to kind of start playing with us, the big boys kind of thing. And the last time he performed, he literally came straight from chemo, but he was really he was like just embarrassed about the size of his jaw and how big it was. So he said like if he had one of those like flat caps and stuff like that. And then that night we all wore hats, and that was the last time we properly spoke and hung out, because then he just deteriorated really quickly after that. But his friend Maddie and him, apparently in hospital, they wrote the top 50 things that they'd like to do, and one of them Maddie showed me at the funeral, which was be like Sting. Oh. And it just crushed me. And then she asked if I wanted to have it, but I said it was just too much, and because I wanted to keep it with like the pack as well, not to feel that. But that was a thing that I don't know. It just both made me feel like great, but also it hit me for six.
That's amazing. Mm. What an amazing thing to have.
Mm.
But that's a lot as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to take. Like, it's amazing, but it's also like, woof.
Yeah, and it was at the wake. I'm like, I already cried at the funeral. Stop making, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we should just all just take a moment for that. That's fair enough. I'm trying to think if I've been... I definitely have stuff from my dad. I have the shirt that he got married in. Actually, the thing is that my mum has, like, I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
As in the colour?
It is. They got married in the 70s. Yeah. And it's an M.C. Escher bird. You know, the bird print. And it's each bird is orange, brown, and white. And the collar is, like, as big as my neck. Yeah, that's the shirt. And I remember I went to, this is the kind of gal I was, we had a 70s party at my, like, school disco, and I wore this shirt because it was, like, perfect. Yeah. And I spent the whole night, people were like, oh my God, this shirt's so perfect. I was like, it's my dead dad's. Why was I not that popular at school? I don't know. Why were they so mean? Strange. Yeah, but I've definitely kept like that because I just thought, God, that's just, it's, well, I mean, really, it's just too good a piece of clothing. I don't know if it could be thrown away. I think it would just come back. Have you guys got anything? Did you get any?
My Nana, who I was really close to, who died most recently, she died like 2 years ago. And I'm sort of similar to you in the sense that I didn't cry at any of the funeral. I mean, not that that's similar to you, but I mean, like, I repressed quite a lot. You look like a girl who doesn't cry at funerals. But, like, yeah, and that surprised me because I cry at everything in life.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to go into the exhibition because I was like, I'm sad at the moment. I'm not. I'm just was worried I'd stop crying or something, and I don't know. But for some reason, when that happens, I don't. And it will happen like 2 years down the line. I'll see something and then lose it. But my Nana had a house just full of, now with the greatest respect to her, just tat. Like, also sometimes quite expensive tat, like Swarovski crystal Mickey Mouse.
Hideous, like £500 or something.
And she didn't even really like Disney that much. So she just, and she'd always collect everything in one go. So there was no fun involved. It was like, I saw these lovely little collectible houses. So I bought 12 of them. That's the entire set now. You're like, well, where's the fun? Where is the fun? But so when she was quite old and she had to like sell loads of her stuff, she's quite sad because she loved her stuff. And then she moved into like a little tiny kind of room attached to her daughter, my auntie's house. And so she had to downsize quite a lot. And she didn't have any of her fun shit there anymore. It was all like functional things. And I went to Salzburg and I saw these like little wooden Mozarts that when you go like that, they bounce up and down like that.
Oh, lovely.
And she wasn't even interested in Mozart, but I was like, I have a feeling that it's not going to matter. She needs some tat in her life. So I bought it for her, and it was the last sort of, around the last time that I kind of saw her. And so the funeral happened and everything. And then 6 months later, my mum was like, Nana would have wanted you to have this. And I cried for like 4 days. Like, and I've got it in my house now, like a little thing. And whenever I look at it, it makes me feel happy, but very, very sad. Because I'm just like, I don't know, it was such a stupid thing to buy somebody. It's really expensive.
Really expensive. Yeah, anything Mozart, they do bump up the prices. They know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
They know what they're doing. That's lovely. That's so nice. Do you have to explain it ever, though? People are like, wow, you love Mozart.
Yeah, it's my dad and I. No. No one really asks because actually I have quite a lot of time. I'm very much related to my Nana.
That's lovely. That's really nice. They're actually, that's funny, in like grief counseling, they're called transitional objects.
Oh.
I know. A counselor's trying to explain it to me, and I was like, kept using this word transit. I was really confused. And then I was like, oh, you mean like shit that you hold on to? And she was like, yes, it's a transitional object and it helps you grieve. And I was like, why do you just say stuff you hold on to? But yeah, it's they often with kids, that's what they like try and find an object so you can like, that can help you feel like they're there or they're with you. But yeah, I think it's so normal not to cry at the right time. Like, and all you get, I hear this a lot from listeners, like they didn't cry at the funeral and then like a cat dies or like their neighbor's
friend's dog dies and they're like, oh my god, the dog, because it's like your body's like, oh, that's a safe way to grieve. It's so, yeah, it's so common to your brain just to go, I'm not sure I can process that, so I'm gonna just put it over here.
My dad had that. Was his dad died and he cried, but you know, but then he went, his best friend's dad died, who he didn't really know that well, and all of the brothers weren't crying at the funeral, they just looked sad, and dad was just gone, and he was like, it was just embarrassing, like they were coming over and going, are you all right, Rob? He was like, oh god, like, and that must have been a transference.
I've heard that story so many times.
Really?
Where they're like, oh, at the my funeral I didn't do that, but when I went to my friend's so and so, which matches my grief, I lost my shit. And I've been at other funerals. I don't think I cried that much at my dad's, but I definitely have been at other funerals where I'm like, oh, this is a little close to home. And then you just lose your shit, but it's like a safe space, and also like no one's looking at you. Mm. Like the day of your something's funeral, everyone's looking at you and everyone's like, are they okay? Are they okay?
God.
So you do end up putting on a bit of a face because you're like, I guess I should be fine. Everyone's checking if I'm fine. And you don't want to let them down? You don't want to be, or have them worry about you. It's that instant human reaction of like, okay, yeah. So that's so common. So we're all nodding. I had some good last words. I thought we'd end on some last words. This is good for us, right? Apparently, this is Beethoven's last words. He said,
"What?"
Oh, that's good. That's better than what's written. That's very good. He's won awards, guys. He's won awards. He said, friends applaud, the comedy is finished. I mean, imagine if we could take that. We could take that. Sophie, you could take that. You'd be like, press play on the clap track now. Now.
That's so self-aware, though, isn't it?
I know. And I obviously, the thing, we talk about last words on the live episodes all the time. And like, I mean, really? Because everyone I've seen die has been like, like, there's not much, they're not saying anything. And it's amazing how people from the past are so eloquent. The ones I've seen are literally, it's a death rattle, they can't move, like they're dying. There's nothing happening there. So perhaps this was a, you know, before it kicked in. Unless something, no, anyway. Winston Churchill apparently said, I'm bored with it all. All right, mate. Arrogant. Rude. I'm bored with it all. I mean, he was quite a sort of, you know, blustering that. No, I found that annoying. Am I the only one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of Churchill.
No, yeah. He's a problematic man, isn't he? He's problematic. Even his last words, Sophie, yeah. He was problematic. This was good. Joseph Wright, who is the man who edited the English Dialect Dictionary. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the main one, but apparently his last word was dictionary. That's like us being like, Edinburgh.
Oh, God.
Comedy.
No.
Podcast. Why would that?
That's really got
that's
me.
Amazing.
But then that seems more believable because that probably, if you really wanted to say last words, they're probably like, dictionary.
How would you say your job as your last word? That's so like depressing.
I know. It is a bit depressing, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's all he has.
At the end of it, all you want to say is,
Dictionary.
Unless it was an acronym.
Oh, Steen's made a mystery.
Telling you where the buried treasure is.
Maybe, yeah, because what they don't tell you is what did they ask? Because did someone say to Beethoven, oh,
what was your job?
to Joseph Wright, what was your job?
Dictionary.
His last words were dictionary. If he died with his enemy in a lift.
Oh, man.
But the enemy survived. And he'd be like, guess what Steen's last words were? Oh. Improviser.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That suck.
Yes, and only for the improvisers. Thank you so much. It's been so lovely to have you all here to talk about death. Surprisingly cheery. Please give a huge round of applause to Stevie Martin, Sophie Duca, and Steen Raskopoulos. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. It's so, so appreciated. If you don't listen to the podcast already, imagine what it's like when it's one-on-one and it's really intense. There are other live episodes. You can listen to it on Acast or download it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast app from. You know, rate and review, guys. We don't just say it for fun. Every podcast asks you to do it. Do you do it? Are you being a good podcast audience? If you are, why do I have to keep saying it? That's what I feel like. Because I was like, yeah, yeah, they all say it. That's what I feel. Stevie does a very successful. Do you
I've
say
stopped
it?
Saying it
oh,
now.
Oh, have you?
That's no, that's so bad. You're supposed to say, but also you probably someone said to say it at the front because people when yeah, the moment you start going, hey guys, so listen, they're like, no, turn it off because it's the boring stuff.
I know. They just skip 30 seconds. We all know you do it. We all know you do it. Please don't just turn down the volume so that you listen to the advert, which I know is annoying but pays for the podcast. That's how I'm going to end it, on a sales pitch. And please give yourselves a round of applause for being synced, a wonderful audience.
And carry it.
If you enjoyed our guests, you can follow them on Twitter. Steen is at, I'm just looking for it, guys, at Steen Rasko. Stevie is at 5StevieM. And Sophie is at Sophie Jukebox. But if you type their names into Twitter, you should be able to find it. If you have enjoyed the show, please do rate and review and subscribe as ever. It really genuinely helps me to continue to make the podcast. And thank you for listening. What else do I have to say? Oh yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at The Griefcast or on Instagram at The Griefcast. You can email thegriefcast@gmail.com as well. Music was provided by the Glow Ensemble, and the show was edited by Kate Holland with thanks to Whistledown Studios. And remember, you are not alone.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.